Hello, and welcome to Convergently Speaking. Today, From Pain to Purpose.
G'day there, and welcome back to Convergently Speaking. I've got to say, I'm really in the mood for recording a podcast. It feels like it's been a really, really long time since I recorded a solo episode. My brain's been ticking, I've been thinking about stuff, but a voice to microphone hasn't happened for a while. The topic I'm talking about today is From Pain to Purpose. The reason I'm talking about this is lately I've been trying to narrow in who I am and what I'm offering in my transformation coaching and relationship counseling private practice. As an INFJ, being concise isn't always my skill or gift. It's something I have to work at. And yet, introverted intuition, which is the first part of my personality, loves summing things down to pithy little statements or concepts or ideas. So it's been a long, hard process, but the other day it popped into my head that what I'm doing and what I'm wanting to intentionally continue to do is to work with people to help them look at, examine, work through, and ultimately transform their pain, their emotional pain, their existential pain, into purpose. My other little kind of catchphrase or language is change, transform, and grow. And the idea is that when we're going through change in our life, when change may feel like it's happening to us, we have a choice in those moments what we do with that. Do we double down on our defense mechanisms, on our neuroses? Do we take it out on our partner, our family, our friends? Do we invest more time and energy into whatever addictions that we have? Or do we actually say, this time, in this moment, in this instance, I'm going to actually try and look at this pain, transform it, heal it, and ultimately, and when I say ultimately, I'm not necessarily talking days or weeks, but it sometimes can be months or years. Ultimately grow from this thing. We always have a choice in those moments. Are we going to try and sidestep and get around the pain? Or are we going to actually go through it, transform it, and find purpose on the other end? For my own life, I'm not sure I've ever in good conscience been able to say the pain and the challenges that I've been through were quote-unquote worth it. And it feels almost a bit obscene or a bit minimizing or something to say, oh, I lived through hell, but it was worth it for where I'm at now. If hell is really hell, then if real pain and angst and anguish is really as real as all that, then I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, and I'm not sure that I want to say, hey, it's all good because, you know, I'm here now and it was worth it. And yet there's a tension in there that for me, but for pretty much everyone that's working in a conscious kind of healing, educating, coaching space, a conscious career, this is always birthed out of their own lived experiences. I've met psychologists and therapists and that kind of thing that clearly have not done their work, that for them it was a career path, that whilst they're sitting there across from their client, they might be deeply empathetic, they might be brilliant with all the skills, but they haven't actually walked that walk. And so it's hard to talk the talk. It's hard to have that deep, deep authority. The best therapists, the best healers get it. They get it because they've been there. Maybe not the exact same thing, but a mirrored version. There are shared human experiences. I reference, you know, the existential pain. There's shared human existential questions that come up that we get, that at 1 or 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning when everything's quiet and we're laying in bed unable to sleep, those questions and fears. We've all been there at one time or another. So whilst I don't wish people to go out and get pain, to transform and change this and turn it into purpose, as I've said previously, I do believe that life is painful, that life is hard, that life always throws suffering at us. It's unavoidable. And that's why there's so many quotes and cliches in society around this stuff. Some of my favorites, some of the ones that come back to me time and time again and that I use with clients and I quote ad nauseum to friends and such is, don't let anxiety go until you have learned what it hit. Don't let anxiety go until you have learned what it has to teach you. Pain and suffering and struggles can be gifts sent to us to learn more about ourselves, to learn more about our wounding and how to grow, how to heal, how to be a gift in the world. If you have anxiety in your life, there's something amiss. There's something that's not congruent within you. And if you take a pill or get on the bottle or whatever to numb that, yes, you may push those anxious feelings away and underground. But firstly, you're not going to resolve it that way. And secondly, you're not going to actually get to the heart of what's causing that anxiety. You're not going to learn that you have a tendency to push yourself too much, and that's why you're getting anxiety. You're not going to learn that you look for external validation to find your inner worth, and that's why you're getting anxiety when people around you are not giving you that affirmation. You're not going to learn that the anxiety is prompted by drinking too many coffees a day, or by not taking downtime, by not getting some fresh air and being in nature, and so on and so forth, whatever it is. So anxiety is a messenger. And then I move on to Richard Rohr, who has this just beautiful, fantastic quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but Google it. You can easily find it on Google there. And he says something to the effect of, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, whatever pain you don't transform, you will most assuredly transmit. And if you want to know if this is true, you want a little confirmation? Jump on social media. I'm starting to see social media more and more as like the dumping ground of all our unconscious, undealt with traumas and baggage. We talk about triggering someone, and that's become a meme in society. But it's real. You can trigger people. We can all be triggered. If you have an undealt with issue, trauma, fear, and you're just hanging out on the internet or hanging out in a social context, and someone says something that relates to your undealt with issue, you will be triggered. You can react, emotionally react. You can lash out. You can unconsciously move into a reactive fight, flight, freeze, fawn, whatever it is. There's a whole bunch of them now. you can move into that unconscious state, that survival mechanism, that survival state. The next one, your mess is your message. Go and look up anyone online, any coach, any counselor, any self-help guru professional out there, and you will see that they tend to have a few points that they hammer on, that they continuously speak about. I do it. I essentially say the same few things in 100 different ways. And artists as well do this. Usually what's going on here is that they're actually preaching to themselves. We are actually preaching to ourselves. Why do I do relationship counseling? Why do I care so much about other people's relationships? Well, I care about it because I, in my own life, came from a family where the marital relationship of my parents was not great. And at 17, it dissolved. My parents got separated. And so it became a lifelong mission for me to get it right. And now that I've quote unquote got it right, I'm ever more convinced of the value of a good and healthy, functional, intimate relationship. And we know this from science, you know, people that have good relationships in their life live longer, have better health, and so on and so forth. So it's my mess, and I've got a few of them, but this is one. My mess of coming from a broken home has become my message. It became my mission to work out what the heck I need to do to get things right, to have a good and healthy marriage, and then also to understand what are the factors at play, what are the dynamics at play that make relationships succeed or fail. So pain to purpose obviously begins with looking at your pain, looking at the person's pain, what they're going through, what's happening, what the specific struggles are. Two people can go through the same circumstances and yet have entirely different struggles to one another. Or one person might not struggle while the other one does, going through the same type of trauma or a really big change or death in the family or whatever. And so what needs to happen and what I do with clients in sessions is sit there and start to unpack the meaning that is operating within these stories, the meaning that is operating within these painful situations. Why is it painful, and why do you have that belief around that pain and what went on? And just to drive the message home, you know, I said this is not easy. It's not an easy process. It's a deeply painful process to look at your biggest, most profound demons in the eye and confront them. But it's also not fast or linear. It's a forward, backwards, messy, upside down process. To deal with that early childhood trauma of the mother or the father who was an alcoholic and who emotionally neglected you or physically abused you, or the parent who was a workaholic and was not around to attend and engage with you in certain milestones, or whatever your particular story is, we all have one, is not easy. But if you want to find purpose from your pain, you need to work out what your mess is, and you need to work through that if you want to ultimately turn your pain into purpose in your life. Another thing Franciscan priest Richard Rohr says is that success has nothing to teach you beyond the age of 30. Now, I suggest holding that age of 30 thing loosely. It's not specifically that age, but the sentiment here is that when you're growing up and you first become an adult and you get your first job and you first do some study or get involved in some different programs. What he means here is that after you've done life for a bit, you've been an adult for a bit, you've tried a few things, you've kicked a few goals, you've achieved some things, you've got some accolades, you generally have, you know, somewhat of a healthy ego identity. You know, it's good and it's necessary to build up that ego, to get to the top of some competence hierarchies, to finish some courses or get some accolades, win some prizes, or simply get a job and succeed in that job and find fulfillment in that job. These are all good things, but ultimately they won't get you to the finish line. And after you've done this for a while and you've got a reasonably healthy sense of self, it's actually the pain, it's actually the challenges, it's actually the knocks, the things that make you feel like you're going backwards, that are the things that can ultimately be the gifts to be able to grow and develop and evolve as a person, to become a truly valuable member of society, a truly valuable member of your community, to become a person that can truly add value and not just transmit toxicity and trauma onto those around you. So there's lots of metaphors, there's lots of ways of coming at this, there's lots of ways of pursuing this journey as well. But unless you find some sort of a magic pill to avoid suffering and pain, I believe this journey is the best way to make the pain and suffering worth it, or to redeem that stuff and to not feel like it's all been in vain. I was only talking to someone a short while ago who was saying they feel like they lost 10 years of their life because of severe mental health issues. And I think especially for those that have experienced severe mental health issues or severe struggle, when for years on end, all they could do was just try and put food on the table. There's something so beautiful and profound about being able to break through that, being able to, through sheer blood, sweat and tears sometimes, work out hacks and solutions to level up, essentially, to get a better footing in life and to be able to extract gold from those experiences rather than just forget they ever happened and block them out of their mind. And once again, just so that's absolutely clear, this is not easy. I don't want it to come across like this is not an easy process. And it's a process that requires courage. And we're not always in a place where we're ready to do that, where we're able to do that. And that is absolutely okay. So I hope this podcast has been of benefit for you today. This is kind of a broad overview of this topic. I'm going to endeavor to come back to this topic in some very concrete and specific ways, pulling apart stories, but also tools and strategies that can be used for looking in the eyes one's pain and owning it and taking on the responsibility to heal from that stuff, even if it wasn't, and it usually isn't, you know, your fault that you ended up with this pain and this trauma and this suffering and this difficulty. And please, if you've got value out of this, or it's prompted your interest, or you're in a place where you're struggling and you could use a listening ear, please reach out. I'd be happy to talk to you. As I said, I'm offering one-to-one transformational coaching, and I've actually been doing quite a bit of relationship counseling through this period as well, as these unforeseen pressures and stresses of 2020 have really put relationships in a pressure cooker. There is hope for relationships. And I've been seeing some wonderful aha moments and healings from people as they start to realize that, you know, the issues that they're struggling with in their relationships is more misunderstanding than bad intent. So I'll leave it there for today, and I will speak to you next time on Convergently Speaking. Cheers.